Hi again, people of marketing. Yes, you guessed it. This right here is a little ad. I'm not sure how much you know about Plannable, but we're a collaboration tool for social media teams, helping marketers around the world create, plan, review, approve, and schedule social media posts. The best part is that you can try Plannable for free, no strings attached. And if it strikes your fancy, we got a special offer just for you. Yes, I'm talking to you, dear listener who hasn't skipped past the ad. Go to plannable.io/listeners and use the discount code when upgrading to get 30% of the first 3 months. That is plannable.io/listeners. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, this is Xenia Muntan and welcome to another episode of People's Marketing Podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Plannable, the collaboration tool for social teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. Every week we explore the story of their careers, the choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Today, we're going to take a sneak peek into the life of Alex Shockey. She's the manager of global social media at FedEx, a position she has held since December of 2018. She has been with FedEx for more than 8 years, serving as an advisor in both social media and digital user experience prior to her current position. Her team is the one that's responsible for brand storytelling and social engagement across all FedEx social media platforms. Alex, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining me today on People of Marketing.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Me too. And I'm very excited to tell your story to the audience. You have an amazing background. And I want the two of us to walk a bit through your career and connect the dots. And the question I very much like to start and kick off conversations and people of marketing is, what was your first interaction with marketing ever, if you can remember it? What do you think got you into marketing in the first place?
Well, a long, long time ago, I think I was probably in elementary school. So maybe, when I was 7 or 8, I started creating magazines and newspapers. I would make my own magazines. So I would cut out pictures. I would lay them out. I would create headlines. I thought it was so fun. And I think that's when it all started. I loved to write. I would write articles about, you know, all different things. And then I wound up going into college thinking I'd be a reporter. But then as an intern at a local newspaper, I had to write some really hard stories, like really emotionally tough stories. And I wasn't a big fan of that. I thought, you know, let's find something else that's a little bit more positive. So I found my way into public relations and marketing. But I would say that, you know, creating those magazines and those newspapers when I was a kid, that's really what started it all.
That's such a great story. I was wondering, you know, looking at your background, I see that you studied journalism. Did you ever, you know, think you're gonna, you know, take the PR and then the social media route? And what do you think, you know, about your journey so far?
Yeah, I don't think I ever thought I was gonna be in PR or be in marketing. From the get-go, I thought I was going to be a reporter who was reporting on all of the tough stories and traveling around the world. And so in my head, that's what was going to happen. And then I went and I did it. And actually the incident that happened that really was life-changing for me was I was an intern at a paper. I was a reporter over the summer. And there was a fire that had happened. And I was assigned to go report on it. So I drove to this house fire. And I arrived the same time as the family that lived there saw it for the first time. They had been out of town. And anyway, so I saw their reaction and they asked me, they said, please don't report anything about this. And so I physically could not make myself do the job. I can't, you know, so, that's when I decided, I was like, that's it. I don't want to be the person that's, you know,
has to break it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So then I did some exploration. Luckily I went to Ole Miss for my undergraduate degree and they had a really great journalism program that included print journalism, broadcast journalism, and public relations, emphasis. And So I decided I would explore the public relations route because, you know, you still have that print journalism skill set, still a lot of writing involved. And I fell in love with it. I had some really great professors and it was just, it was a whole new world to me, but it was something I quickly fell in love with. And I'm so glad that I decided to go that route.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you know, it's, it has the journalism and the PR, the communication space has a lot of overlap, you know, obviously. But it's still quite a pivot, right? To mm-hmm. switch from, you know, this particular space to the marketing, advertising, social communications, PR world. So I'm wondering, you know, if you had anyone you were admiring or following, anyone you were getting, you know, inspiration from or support from, especially in those early days when you had to make that transition?
Mm-hmm. I don't really remember following any particular person until I started working at FedEx. So in 2012, or shortly after 2012, when I first started working in digital and social media, I read, it's a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, and I think a lot of people have read that book, but I just remember reading it and telling everyone else that I worked with to read it too, because it finally defined my philosophy of what successful social media was. And I think it just really opened my eyes to how you can, you know, use social media beyond just a way to promote, you know, your brand. It's a way to engage with your followers, a way to build an audience, to really resonate with the people who choose to follow you. But he's probably the first role model I had in marketing. I've worked with a lot of really talented people at FedEx and at different companies since I've, you know, been in the role that I'm in now. And they've all been role models to me as well. So, but you know, he's the only one that really stands out when it comes to like somebody from my early days that really helped define, you know, what social media was. And I just thought he was really cool. His book was great. So
yeah, really well, that makes so much sense. I mean, Gary Vee is probably one of, you know, the biggest influencers out there, you know, really transformed social media. So considering the position you're currently in and the world you're currently in, it totally makes a lot of sense. So let's talk a bit about FedEx. How did you get where you currently are? You're the manager for the global social media presence of FedEx. So tell us a little bit, you know, how you got into the company, how you started with the company, and, you know, your journey throughout the company to where you currently are. You've been with the company for almost 9 years, mm-hmm. from what I see on LinkedIn. So, you know, tell us a little bit about that journey.
Sure. So I started my career at a company called Pinnacle Airlines Corp, which is now Endeavor Airlines. And I was fresh out of college. I joined as an intern. I got hired on full-time after my internship. And I worked in digital communications there. When I applied at FedEx, they had an opening in their digital and social media team. And at the time, this was in 2012. So, you know, social media was big when I was in college, but it was more of a personal social media boom, and companies and brands were just starting to get into the social media world. So I got in at FedEx and the social media team at a really amazing time. I had helped build the Pinnacle Airlines social media presence. And then having that experience, I got hired on at FedEx. And we were in a spot where, you know, they already had a Facebook and a Twitter account. I believe there was a LinkedIn presence. I got to help launch Instagram and Pinterest and, wow. you know, all the new, like all the platforms have just grown so much since I started there. So it's been really cool to be a part of just the evolution of social media with a brand like FedEx and, you know, really understanding how we can take advantage of the tools, the platforms, and reach our audiences that way. So anyway, I started as a social media specialist at FedEx, and then, you know, got promoted to an advisor. And I really, after 4 years of working in social media, I wanted to explore some other areas that were still in the digital world. And I found a team called the Digital User Experience Team at FedEx. And we are the Digital User Experience Team also goes by the DUX team, the DUX team. So the DUX team was responsible for doing customer research and improving the FedEx experience online. So I got to travel around the world and meet customers and really understand how they interacted with FedEx and with the brand, and then take what I learned and apply that back to, you know, how our website functions, or right, what our homepage looks like, or what the login experience, you know, just any interaction that that we saw an opportunity to improve, the Ducks team was responsible for making those improvements. So that was really cool. I got to learn a lot about the IT side of the house and just work with a lot more customers in a different capacity than in social media. But after a couple of years doing that, I really missed the pace of social media. And you know, there's just something new every day. and I'm a communicator at heart. You know, I've got a journalism degree. So there was an opening for the manager of the social media team. And yeah, I found my way back over as the manager of the team. And I've been in this role since December of 2018. So it's been a fun journey.
It definitely looks like that. So I want to go back a bit to the digital user experience that you've had. It's a very interesting background for someone in social media. I haven't seen that many people that have, you know, dipped their toes into that space in the social media world. So I'm very curious, you know, where did that curiosity for that space came from? And, you know, what was your logic? How did you think through for your career, but also, you know, how did you think that would help you further on with social media at the same time?
Sure. There were two big pieces of it that I really was attracted to. One was the graphic design element. So a lot
I saw that you had some experience with the Adobe design since you were, you know, very early on in your career, like 2009, you designed some merchandise. So you've had some prior experience. It seems like you're passionate with design, you know, a long time.
I have been. And I saw this team. The UX team had three roles on the team. One was a designer, one is a researcher, and one is what's called a UX lead. And the UX lead is a little bit of research and a little bit of design, more of a project management role, which is kind of where I fit in.
Yeah.
But I loved that they could take a problem and solve it by design. Mm. Like, that was just really cool to me. So, you know, for example, if you're interviewing a customer and you see like, hey, they're having a really hard time finishing making their shipment because, you know, they keep stumbling on the screen. So how do you look at that screen and redesign it to where it makes the customer have a better experience, where, and it is a win-win for the customer and for FedEx. I really wanted to take my design skills and apply them in a different way than just in a marketing capacity, like a communications capacity. So that was one thing. The other piece of it was that, you know, in social media for years, I had been seeing so much customer feedback coming in through our social media channels that I thought could help improve the FedEx experience. So, you know, we see thousands of comments a day about FedEx. And so if there's ever a time where we want to find out more about the tracking experience or the shipping experience, well, we could go in and look at social media comments and understand patterns, like what are people complaining about, so we can make FedEx better. We can, you know, look at those insights and show them to this user experience team and say, hey, we have, you know, data that shows that at this point in the process, people are really having a hard time. So now the UX team can take that information and make a better website experience, or a better shipping experience, or a better tracking experience. So I thought that was really cool. And I learned how, you know, I kind of learned the other side of the process there. So not only am I getting those customer insights in social media, but now I'm learning how I can apply those insights and make it a better experience. So what's that process like after you have the data, then what? So that's one of the big reasons I love user experiences, because I learned like after you know what problem you need to solve, then I knew how to take those, you know, the insights and turn them into something actionable.
So you've been in that digital user experience advisor position for about 2.5 years. And it's very interesting how you talk about what you took from the social media world and brought into the digital user experience world at FedEx. What do you think was the biggest thing that you took from the digital user experience to the social media part?
I think I learned a lot on the user experience team. I learned, you know, how the company works, like the back end, the systems that make FedEx work. I was just learning more about the business and how it functions. like behind the scenes things that I was never exposed to in communications. But then the biggest thing was probably learning the design thinking methodology. That was really, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it was a really cool new way of thinking and learning how to solve problems that you can really apply in any situation.
Yeah.
And so that was awesome. And besides that, empathy, just learning how important having empathy for your customers, for your audiences, for your teammates. I mean, I had empathy before I joined, the UX team, but then you learn how to harness empathy and make that part of your process. Whenever you're, you know, developing a campaign or doing anything that's trying to reach an audience, having empathy for that target audience is so important. And that was something that was just drilled into my brain when I was on the UX team. So that's probably the biggest takeaway I had, was just how important empathy is to making something successful.
I love this. I think, you know, this experience that you've gone through is, you know, I wouldn't definitely say that every social media manager has to go through a digital user experience position sometimes in their career, but I think it does teach you quite a lot, you know, about ways of thinking about the customer, ways of, you know, problem solving, the design methodology that you mentioned. I think it had, you know, definitely a great experience. I wanted to ask you, you know, throughout this entire journey that you have, you know, gone through from when you were studying journalism to, you know, making that transition to the communication world, to the PR world, social media, throughout your journey at FedEx, what was the proudest moment of your career so far?
That is a really great question. Yeah. I have a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've been proud of. I think the proudest I have been recently. This was in 2018. So this was, it was 2019, early 2019. It was, we launched a robot.
Wow.
FedEx has, it's called Roxo, the same day bot. It's a delivery robot that's still in the testing phase. But when it came time to promote, you know, that we were revealing this bot, and it was a really huge deal for the company. It's not something we had ever done before. Well, it was a massive effort behind the scenes because it was a secret project internally also. So myself and one person on my team, we were responsible for all of the social media promotions around it. And the robot was revealed on Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show. So I got to go behind the scenes and take social media footage. And I was back there with our chief marketing officer and our VP of communications. And I mean, it was a lot of work. It was a whole lot. And there was a lot that went into it. But when we finally got that bot rolled out on stage and all of the social media posts and promotions that surrounded it went live, I was just so proud. Not proud of what I had done. I was proud of the person on my team who made it happen, that I was working with. You know, I was there in New York for the launch, and she was actually at a satellite media tour in New Hampshire. And she was, you know, filming some live things at a different location, and I was doing something in New York, and we were, you know, still communicating with each other to make sure everything went off without a hitch. But when all was said and done, we had more than 1 billion impressions for that launch for the robot, which was just, I mean, I've never, in all of my time at FedEx, that's the most impressions I've ever seen for anything we've ever done. And I'm just really proud of, you know, the work that our team did to make that happen. So, yeah, I would say that's probably what makes me the most proud.
That's such a great one. And it also sounds like so much fun, like such a genuinely fun project to work on.
It was really cool. I mean, from getting to be behind the stage at the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
And working on a robot, like, it's just, there were a lot of cool elements to that one.
Yeah, it does definitely have all the ingredients for the proudest moment of your career. So let's zoom a bit into the nitty gritty of day to day, because, you know, not every day is, such a cool one, you know, launching robots every day and going on Jimmy Fallon every day. What does, you know, a typical day look like in your work life as the manager for the global social media at FedEx? What's, you know, the first thing you tackle when you start your day? Do you have a particular ritual you go through each morning when you start your day, or, you know, describe a typical day and a typical week.
I'll start by saying that one of the reasons that I love social media is because no day looks the same. Like never, none of my days ever look the same. But what I do try and have the same ritual in the morning. So after about 10 o'clock a.m. my time, my days kind of, it just goes, you know, its own way depending on what's happening in social media that day. So usually first I check my email. You know, we're a global company, so I make sure that I haven't missed anything overnight that needs immediate attention. We have people working in our regions that may send, you know, emails to me in the middle of the night, my time. And I just make sure that everything is checked off before I get started. Then I check our content calendar. So I take a look at what's coming up during the day. I check to make sure that whatever's going on in the news is still, you know, if it's still okay for us to post our planned content, because a lot of times, you know, we have things planned. We might need to hold our content if something crazy is happening.
Right.
And because we don't want to seem insensitive or out of touch.
So of course. Yeah.
I always do a daily news check. But seriously, by the time that I get to 10 o'clock in the morning, my day, it just depends. It depends on what's going on. Because, you know, we move so quickly in social media and, we're involved in so many different things across the company. I would, you know, bet that my team, my social media team is probably involved in, at least, we're dealing with like 20 to 30 different stories. And if it's not a story, it's an initiative. That's going on across the company every week. I mean, there's different things happening in all different areas that people want social media support on.
Yes.
And if we're not proactively creating content, then we're escalating crises or issues that we see on social. So it's a proactive and a reactive, and depending on the day and the issue that pops up, you just never know what direction you're going to head in. So
that's what's beautiful, I think, about social media in a company, that it's, you know, one of those areas of a company that is really like incredibly, insanely, or it has to be insanely connected to everything else in the business, right? Like on social, you communicate, you know, product stuff, but also, you know, marketing stuff, but also, you know, sometimes employer branding, and sometimes you need to be connected with legal, depending on the type of stuff you do. So it's just so extremely, you know, engaged with everything else that happens in the business. And I think that's, you know, part of the beauty of being in social in a company, because you get to see a little bit of everything within the company you work in.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you know, as you mentioned, it just, you know, you can easily be pulled just sideways and your day can become very chaotic based on that. So I'm wondering if you developed, you know, across the years, if you developed any productivity or focus techniques or tools or any tactics to keep, you know, sane.
Let's see. I would say I'm a big list maker. So I have a running list. I mean, I write it down. It's old school. I have a list that I, you know, check off. It's my priorities for the day or the week or, you know, whatever it might be. And I always make sure that I am able to check those off. Like no matter how crazy my day might get, I can always go back to that list and say, okay, I need to get to this before the day's over, or I need to, you know, take a break from whatever, you know, issue is happening now, and I have to cross some of these things off so I can keep my sanity. But there are a few different things too that we use. I mean, we use Teams, Microsoft Teams, for you know, just staying connected at work. And so my team has a chat within that tool, and if we didn't have that ongoing chat with each other, I think we would all go crazy, because we're able to really quickly check in with each other and just say, hey, who has content scheduled for, you know, the hour? You know, if we've got something that needs to go up really quickly, we're able to just touch base, make sure that we're not stepping on each other's toes, or get really quick feedback. I mean, that's one of the biggest things too, is being able to, having a team that you can trust and get feedback from, because, you know, social media is kind of like the wild, wild west right now. There's all different platforms and all different types of people on the platforms. And you might create a piece of content and it may be perceived so differently by different, you know, not as intended. And it's great to have a team that you can bounce your content off of and get honest feedback before you publish it. So we use Teams to, you know, share content ideas before it goes out. And before we send it through for approvals, just to make sure that we're publishing good quality content that you know, isn't a risk to the brand of any kind.
Yeah. And that, you know, there's internal alignment as well. Makes sense. You know, on the same topic, I want to ask you, like, what's, you know, the one thing that you think, you know, stands between you and your most productive self? Is it, you know, the tools? Is it the meetings, like notifications that happen all the time? What is, you know, the one thing that stops you from being like 100% productive?
I mean, I think, I know meetings are necessary.
Yeah.
But a lot of times there are, you know, meetings that we probably could do via email.
Yeah.
Or like just send me a quick message. That, you know, that's what really drives me crazy is, especially if it's a, you know, a Zoom meeting where everybody's on their video and I, you know, don't have a lot to add to the meeting, and but I'm stuck in the meeting and can't do anything else. That's what gets me. But I feel like people are doing a much better job now that we've been, you know, we're working from home still. We're still remote. Yeah. And I think people, having been remote for so long now, have done a really good job of understanding, okay, when do we need to have a meeting? When can I do this via phone call? And when can I just shoot an email to somebody? Because, you know, I think everybody is kind of burnt out on having the Zoom meetings and, you know, face to face. I think it's just, it's still important, but only, you know, we only do it when we have to do it instead of just all the time. Cause when we first started, working remotely, I feel like I was on a Zoom meeting all the time.
So, I know. Yes. I remember the times it was, it was hard. There's this conversation that's happening, you know, right now where everyone is talking about remote work and what a company is going to do in the future. Is work going to become, you know, fully remote? And there's two sides, you know, people that really, really love working remotely and, you know, others who just, you know, can't, you know, do it and want back to the office. Do you see a future where, you know, work becomes fully remote? And on what side of this question are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, we've been fully remote since March. So we've been doing it for a long time now. And our team, I would argue, has been more productive than we have ever been. And it's been crazy. This 2020 has been crazy. It's been a pandemic. There's been a cultural revolution. There's been, it's an election year here. There's just all kinds of things happening. But my team has been able to produce incredible content and really manage our brand and reputation, I mean, as well or better than we've done in the past. So I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I don't know what direction our company is going to take. I see the benefit in being in person. I see the, you know, but I also see that we work really well while we're remote. So I'm not going to rule out the possibility of being fully remote. But I, you know, whichever way it winds up happening, I will be fine. I'll support it, but I do enjoy being remote right now. That's for sure.
Sounds good. So I want to go a bit back to your career, to the early stages of your career. Always when we're looking backwards, we realize, you know, the mistakes we've done and the things we could have done, you know, differently to improve them. So I'm wondering if there's anything you wish you knew when you were just starting out in your career. Like if you'd be able to, let's say a time machine was invented and you had the opportunity to meet your past self, what advice would you give to yourself?
Don't be afraid to get inspiration from other companies. That's what I would say. Like, I think I felt like I was just compelled to create my own ideas and come up with, you know, like I reinvented the wheel a lot when I first started out, and I didn't look at what other companies were doing for inspiration as much as I should have, because I think I felt like I was stealing ideas or plagiarizing but I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying just get inspiration from other companies and see like, what are they doing that's reaching audiences that you want to reach? And how can you take those ideas to inspire your own ideas? instead of just starting from scratch, which I just felt, I don't know why I did it so much, but I did. So I think I was just so scared of, you know, being seen as someone who stole ideas. But I think I would just recommend, find inspiration from the companies around you who are trying to do similar things.
I love this so much. And there's, you know, obviously that big quote from Picasso that, you know, said bad artists copy, great artists steal.
Yes.
So, don't be afraid of stealing. Everything is a remix anyway, so it doesn't really matter that much. Continuing with this, train of thoughts, I wanted to, because I love talking on People of Marketing, not just, about proudest moments and achievements and successes, which are, amazing. And it's really good to have, success stories out there. But I also want to talk about challenges and low moments in our careers. And I want to ask you, what was the thing, the habit or the skill that you struggled the most to develop in yourself across your career path? We're never perfect. I'm sure, everyone is striving to improve themselves constantly, but what's your one thing that you struggled the most with?
Mm-hmm. Executive presence. I think I'm a very casual person. I've always been very casual. My family is, my mom is an art teacher. She's very creative, very kind of off the wall. She's really funny. My dad is, a really laid back guy. And so we've always been really informal. And I think moving into a communications and a PR role, I'm exposed to a lot of executives who are very buttoned up and very professional.
Yeah.
And I've always struggled to be that way, which is, it's not terrible. I think sometimes I bring some much needed relief to that, comic relief maybe to some of those people. But there are times too, where I feel like kind of like a fish out of water when it comes to, being in a room with executives. And but I think I've learned to embrace just accepting who I am. And, I'm never going to be a really formal person. I just don't have it in me to be that kind of person. But I've learned to adapt, when to tone it down a little bit or when to listen more than I speak. But it's still, remaining true to who I am.
So I think I actually got a sneak peek of this on your LinkedIn profile, and I want to quote you on something there. So you have your description of your job and you say, "I lead a team of communications strategists who drive intentional and effective storytelling for the brand." And then you go on to say, meaning, "My team tells really great stories in really cool ways on channels where people want to see them." And I loved this. I felt like this is so wonderful. Just such an easy and casual and just, human way of saying what we do in social media.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, that's who I am. I'm just, you can love me or not. It's fine. But
authenticity, yeah. And just I think that's very well correlated with what you talked about, empathy and just being real. So I have one more question for you before we move on into our rapid fire session.
Okay.
And this is a more of a controversial question. So here we go. I want to ask you about the fact, the industry we work in is extremely dynamic, as we talked, about this. So many trends happening every single day, new buzzwords, new popular things that come up every day. So I'm curious, what is that one trend or popular thing or buzzword in the industry that is like really annoying you or that you disagree with?
Oh, so many things. Okay. The biggest one, this one happened really recently at work and it has happened for years. It's still a buzzword or it's still a thing, but hashtags.
Hashtags. I love this one. It has never come up on the show yet. Oh, thank you. Tell me.
So for some reason, people just really want to have a hashtag associated
like
with whatever they're promoting.
Yeah.
Yes. They want, let's say it's hashtag, FedEx is awesome, hashtag, whatever it might be. They always have a reason they want to create and promote a hashtag. And what I always tell them is, if you don't have equity built up into a hashtag, then it's probably not going to go very far. It's not going to be valuable. So at FedEx, we have just a few hashtags that we've used for a very long time that we do promote. So we have Team FedEx, which is our, when we're talking about our team members or using our employee advocacy tool, we use hashtag Team FedEx. We have FedEx 11, which is used for all of our NASCAR sponsorships. So we have The number 11 NASCAR is the FedEx, it's Denny Hamlin's car. And we've used that one for years to promote our content related to Denny Hamlin.
Right.
And then we have hashtag FedEx Cares, which is associated with all of our volunteerism and philanthropic efforts. And we have tons and tons of content that we've posted that is related to those campaigns. Now, if you're planning on posting a lot of content around the a specific subject, then I think it's fine to have a hashtag. Right. But if you're only, if it's a short-term campaign that's just a few posts or for a couple months and it's not, you know, you only have a handful of pieces of content that you're supporting, I really don't think you need a hashtag because it doesn't do much. If people click on the hashtag, they're not going to see a lot. Whereas if you have a long-term effort and, you know, you have to create several pieces of content to support something, and you want people to be able to click the hashtag and see everything that you've done related to it, then yeah, hashtag is fine. But I have this conversation, I feel like multiple times a year with different groups that just, you know, don't understand, they don't fully understand what a hashtag does, but they think that they need one.
Yeah.
So
that's really solid, really good advice. Yeah. And I'm so happy you know, you touched upon this subject. It has never been brought on this show. So I appreciate you shining a bit of light on it. So let's move forward with our rapid fire session. So I have four questions, quick answers. And the first one is, what is your personal favorite social media network?
Instagram. Very visual. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Designer, right? Makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
What's, you know, the favorite app or tool you use at work?
We use Dynamic Signal. And we use that for our team member advocacy. So we're able to share stories, approve stories from FedEx or about FedEx through this tool. And our team members can share it on their personal social media channels. And I love it. It's a great way to get the good word out about what we're doing.
Amazing. That's a good one. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Somebody before said, you know, when you're working, just keep your head down and work hard. And I think... You know, in some industries, that's probably fine. But in social media, I think you have to keep your head up and on a swivel all the time. And don't be afraid to speak out. So I would say, yeah, don't keep your head down in social. If you want to be successful in social media, you need to be very aware of your surroundings at all time.
That's a very good one. And my last question in the rapid fire session is, if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else do you think you would do?
I would love to be a professor. Actually, was an adjunct professor for a little bit at University of Memphis, but I think I would love to do that. You know, if I had a different life right now.
That's amazing. That's such a different one, but a great one. Alex, thank you so much. This was such an amazing conversation. Thanks for taking time, carving time in your day. I know today is election day in the USA, so there's a lot of things that are happening. So thanks a lot for, you know, carving time to share your story with our audience. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And for everyone else listening in, thank you so much for joining. And don't forget, we have new episodes every Wednesday. Subscribe to People of Marketing on your favorite podcast app. And till next time.